as the saying goes, April showers bring May flowers, so everything should be in full bloom, I would think. Yes, either that or completely, right, a lot of mud too. As you can see on the back of your bulletin, we've got a busy week coming up this week. We start out tomorrow with Red Butterflies. We're going to meet somewhere different tomorrow. We're going out to the bulk food store out on Germania Road. We always have a table reserved, and we're more than happy to add a few more chairs. So anybody that's available at 11:30 wants a little lunch that you don't have to fix or clean up, come on out. On Saturday, we're going to have family game night again. We're going to do it this month and June, and probably not for summer. We're going to maybe just stay on the same schedule as Sunday school, give all of our teachers and kids a little break to do their summer activities. And then next Sunday, we've got a very full day. We start out with our noisy offering, so make sure you bring all your coins. We have communion, and then we're going to be celebrating our May birthdays over in Wesley Hall. At 3 o'clock next Sunday, our district superintendent, Reverend John Heiss, is going to be here to answer questions that concern the disaffiliation of our churches. I know there are a lot of stories, a lot of concerns, and people are very worried. So he is a wonderful person. He's going to be retiring in July, so we are very happy that we could get him to come as soon as we can. He will answer any and all of your questions, and he will go into great detail of everything that's going on. There's a handout at the back of the church. This is going to probably clear up a lot of questions that any of you may or may not have. So feel free to take one. If we need more, I will go down and print them. But I want you to kind of glance through this or read through it good this week, and then you can also make a list of questions for Reverend Heiss next Sunday. So hopefully, I know it's a full day and there's a lot of stuff, but hopefully you'll all stick around for our lunch. Bring a dish to pass. If you don't, there's always more than enough food. I think we can talk Tom into probably putting on an extra pot of coffee if we need one. And we're inviting Deckerville and Snover next Sunday, too. So we hope to have a full house and just try and get some things cleared up that everybody is very, very concerned with. Karen wanted me to remind you also that on Tuesday, the trustee meeting is going to be devoted to church security issues. Tim Torp, a retired undersheriff, is going to present an overview of church security and offer a lot of various methods of security based on what may work best for our church. And everyone is invited to attend that, and that will be at 6:30 Tuesday in Wesley Hall. So get a little rest the next couple days because we've got a lot to deal with this week. And Dee Stone wants to remind everybody to pick up your the crosses that everyone put out for Lent. We still have a few back there on the windowsill, so we need to get that. And I don't want to drone on this, but if you see somebody out and about this week that isn't here today, please let them know about this, and hopefully we can get things taken care of or questions answered by all means. Okay, on to happy, bigger and better things. We have birthdays to celebrate this week. May 1st is Claire Brock. May 4th is Tegan McIntyre and Tiffany Massey. So let's sing happy birthday. We have one anniversary this week, Bill and Shelby, on the 5th.
Happy
like there's something else, but I can't remember what it was, so I guess it couldn't have been too important by any means. Okay, we've got a little time, but we're going to start early today. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Deb Darling, your worship leader for this morning. Let us quiet our minds and hearts as our acolytes, Bristol and Olivia, come in and light our candle. Our praise song for this morning is 2068, I Love You, Lord. We will sing it through two times. Please stand. Please remain standing for our call to worship. Hear Jesus' great truth. I am the gate for the sheep.
We recognize this voice. We've heard these words before.
Come in. You belong here. You are safe and cared for here.
We recognize the voice of our shepherd.
Follow and find green pastures and still waters. I come to give life and give it abundantly.
Pray.
Risen Savior, reliable shepherd, we hear your voice calling us to follow. We remember our ancient brothers and sisters who gathered in prayer and praise. Today we too gather in prayer and praise. Enliven us with your resurrection power, a power that frees us from despair. Enliven us with your abundant life, and may your living power flow through us in all we are and do. Amen.
Our opening hymn is 3107, Just a Little Talk with Jesus.
Come on up, kids. Look at all our kids this morning. Welcome. Welcome. You are valued and treasured. Any of you ever got lost in the store? Amen. Thank goodness for cell phones nowadays, right? Yeah. Did you say, Mom, where are you? Or Dad, where are you? What did you do when you got lost? Tell me what you did. Okay. She picked up what she needed, and then she looked for Mom, right?
I looked for my brother, so then...
Give her the microphone. Here, take the microphone, sweet pea.
So, I tried to find my mom, but first I found my brother.
Okay. Okay. The snack aisle. Always look in the snack aisle, right? That's where I look for him, too, is in the snack aisle.
Amen.
Yep. Were you scared? That's right. Where could he be? Brothers do that sometimes, don't they? I had one too. I know. Anybody else? Anybody else get lost in the store? Were you scared a little bit? It's scary when you don't know where Mom or Dad is, or whoever you came with. We lost him one day. Yeah, that was a... There was a whole story about that. They had K-Pack days, and Papa had the kids up on a bounce house, and he was waiting at the wrong end of the bounce house, and Easton decided everybody had left him, and next thing I know, this little guy, I had stayed in the house and at the house, and next thing I know, the door bursts open, and Easton comes flying through saying, "Where's Papa?" It's like, oh my gosh, Papa must be wondering where you are. Because that was probably 2 or 3 blocks from town. But he was safe, thank goodness. He knew enough to come home. Anyway, it's scary. But usually when you call out for Mom, she's already looking for you. Or if you call out for Dad, guess what? They're already looking for you. But you recognize their voice and they recognize yours, don't you? If you heard your mom calling out, you'd know, oh, that's my mom. I just got to follow the voice, right? And Jesus recognizes our name just like that. And when we call out to him, he recognizes us just like that. He already knows where we are. He's already with us. He's never going to leave us. But we recognize his voice and he recognizes ours just like we recognize Mom and Dad's voice. When we call out for them and we feel like we're a little bit lost, not too lost, just a little bit lost, or when we feel like they're not within our eyesight, sometimes they've just turned around the corner maybe, looking at the end of the aisle, and they're not very far away. Usually they got their eye on you already, but it's scary when we don't see somebody that we're familiar with. Yes. That's right. She had a performance. What performance? Was it a concert or something? It was a concert. And she couldn't see her mom, and for a minute she was kind of scared. You knew you weren't by yourself, right? 150 other people, right, right. Don't be scared. Yeah, and then pretty soon I'll bet you saw her. Okay. I know, that can be pretty scary for sure. Let's bow for a word of prayer, kids, together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us to never have to be scared because we know you're always there. And when we call out to you, you come instantly to our rescue and you help us, Lord. You help us find peace. You help us find comfort. And Lord, there's never a time that you don't hear us. You always recognize our voice. And Lord, as we get bigger and grow more in our faith, we're going to learn that we can recognize your voice very easily as well. So Lord, bless each one of these children and each one of their families. We give you thanks in Jesus' name for each one of them. Amen and amen. Thank you, kids. Thank you very much.
As the kids are heading downstairs for Sunday school, I'd like to ask Purcell to come up. She's going to give a little presentation today and a special thank you to someone very special that has done wonderful things for our church for many years. So.
Okay, so Carol Martino, almost a year now, I was asked to help be her backup, so that way if she ever went on vacation, we had someone else to do the financial input into the computer system. Like, okay, no problem, it's just backup. Well, then a few months ago, she decided to let us know that she's moving, and I'm sitting down there like, oh man, that really stinks, you've been so helpful, who's going to fill this role? And she just kind of looks at me, she's like, well, we're hoping you. I'm like, okay, that's a lot of pressure to put on because I was just a backup. But she has been amazing. She's been doing the financial stuff, even though she's a member of this church, but she attends another church with her family as well. And she still has come back every single Sunday at noon to do the financials downstairs. So she's shown up every Sunday and donated her time to make sure our church finances are in order. And we couldn't do this, we couldn't have done this without her or without you. So come on up, Carol. And she did promise that even though she's moving, she's not going to change her number because I call her probably 3 to 5 times a week. And she does it selflessly. She is the most unselfish person I've ever met. So this is for you from us, and we appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you.
And then there's this, too. That's for you to take home to your new home.
Thank you. Thank you, church family, and I'm still a member here. Pastor Allen made sure that everything was kosher with the United Methodist Book of Discipline, I guess, and transferred me back to this when we moved back in 2009. And I have to thank Rosemary and Cheryl and Suzette and Bev, who's not here. Trying to think who else has counted with me and put up with my antics. So thank you, and it has been a pleasure to serve the church.
Thank you so much.
Our Old Testament reading today is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. And now we're going to hear from our chancel choir, and they're singing Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Thank you. Do we have unspoken needs here this morning? Yes, thank you. Thank you. The Lord sees your hands and knows your needs. This week, the business that we've chosen is Approval Power Sports to be praying for this week, as well as the many prayer needs on our hearts, those that have been mentioned earlier, those that are listed here in the bulletin as well. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, you are the light that shines on our path, and we are so blessed to be here in your presence today. You are our loving Savior. You are our shepherd with the voice that we know. Be with us, Lord, when we stray, for we often hear the voices of strangers and follow them to dry pastures and dark valleys. Sometimes we even forget your voice of love, and we begin to feel small and lost. We fear that we'll not have enough to go on, much less have a surplus to offer to others. And yet you know us by heart. You know us by name. Lord, call us this day. Call us once again, over and over. Restore our souls. Walk ahead of us on the right paths that we might follow you every day of our lives. Lord, thank you for each person that's here this morning, for every family that is represented, whether they're present in this room or listening from the radio. Bless the homes, Lord, of those that want to come before you in worship today. Thank you, Lord, for entering into this worship. May everything that we offer back to you be pleasing to your ears and to your sight and in your presence. Lord, hear our voices. Look into our hearts for those unspoken needs today, those unspoken worries, burdens. Lord, let us lay them at your feet. And we know, Lord, with confidence that you recognize our voices and you've gone before us into the world, touching, saving, serving all of those who love you, Lord. Draw us to your side. We give you thanks. All praise, honor, and glory, may they be yours. In the name of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples and us to pray these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Our hymn of preparation at this time is 369. Blessed Assurance, stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to 1 Peter. I've got two different scriptures for you this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats again. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. And then let's turn to the Gospel of John this morning, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Amen and amen. Welcome again to worship this morning. We're glad that all of you are here. You all are very, very important here in this place. Whether you're listening in or whether you're here in person, we treasure the fact that you are here. Despite all those raindrops you came through this morning, right? Lots of raindrops. And we are knowing that that only brings crops and flowers and gardens to come, right? We thank the Lord for all of his provisions this morning. I was reminded as I read this article a couple of weeks ago about this author. And he said that he had been invited to speak on the subject of guidance. And as he spoke in his preparation, he said he opened up this concordance that he used to put this message together. And he wanted, first of all, and many times I do this as well, I look up the word to see and make sure that it starts me out on the right path. And he looked up the word guidance. And he said he was expecting to find this long list of verses promising guidance from God. But to his surprise, guidance wasn't there. Instead, he found the word guide and a number of verses promising that God himself would be the guide of his people. In this discovery that was made, it added fresh insight. And I hope it does for you too on your Christian pilgrimage. Because I was reminded that people who are blind need guide dogs, not guidance dogs. There's a difference. You may not think there is, but there is. Because even if dogs are capable, even if they were capable of talking in the language we talk, how unsatisfactory would it be if they were mere bystanders shouting out warnings to the blind from a distance, like, be careful now, there's something over here and there's something over there. You're approaching a hole, watch out for the curb. No, these mute but faithful creatures escort their sightless companions every step of the way, being their eyes, steering them safely along precarious pathways. They don't just shout out orders, they guide. And that's what the Lord does for us. Sometimes people want God to be just this person of advice, shouting out, go left, go right, step over this, jump over that. But when our sight is dim and our pathway is dark, as it often is, we need more than just the advice, verbal advice. We need the Good Shepherd to lead us. Unlike the situation in Jesus' time, the image of a shepherd is not one that I believe we can easily relate to in the world where we live, so that we can make today's lesson even more challenging by what Christ is calling us to. Jesus sets himself apart by being the good and noble model shepherd. One aspect of being a good shepherd involves knowing one's own flock. As we know that he doesn't just shout out advice, he steers us. And I always have this visual, this picture, and maybe you do too, of Jesus walking along, maybe just holding us by the elbow or wrapping his arm around our shoulder and steering and guiding us. But occasionally we become rebellious. If you've ever led a puppy that hasn't been used to walking on a leash, that reminds us of ourselves sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes they're leaping to the right or the left or pulling or tugging. Sometimes they're lagging behind. Many ways they're in a hurry. Or if you've ever seen a two-year-old escape from their mom or dad and just take off just running as fast as they can go for whatever they think, you know, is up ahead, not knowing what's ahead, just going and running. We can be like that too, can't we? We're just running. We're just going about our lives as fast as we can go at a pace that we can't even keep up with, looking here and there and yet not really seeing or knowing one another. Does anybody ever ask you how you are, and then before you even had a chance to answer, they turned and walked away or began doing something else, and you knew they couldn't be more or less interested in how you really are? I think we've probably all had one of those experiences over the years. Listening to our shepherd, by listening to him, sheep are able to stay away from danger. We're able to pay attention more thoroughly. Knowledge is crucial because it helps keep the sheep safe from harm. The sheep, most of all, the most important thing to remember this morning, I think, is that sheep are in relationship with that shepherd. Just as when we talked to the kids this morning, when we got a chance to talk, it's kind of scary when we think we're out there on our own. It's kind of scary when we look up and our familiar person is not there within sight. It's kind of scary when you're changing jobs and you're not really sure if this is the right move, but you've been praying about it and you hope it is. When you have to make a big decision about college, or the thousands of other decisions that we make every day, it's kind of scary. But we try to listen for our shepherd. We try to hear that voice. We try to quiet our minds long enough. And you know, I've come to the conclusion, sometimes we talk about too much quiet in the morning. If it's quiet for more than 10 seconds, somebody's saying, we need to be doing something. We need to be doing something. And sometimes it's okay to have silence, I believe. I've come to that conclusion. It's okay to have silence. In fact, it's a rare commodity at my household. And it's kind of nice sometimes to be able to gather your thoughts and feel the presence of the Lord. In fact, we got feedback from someone that was listening in on the radio, and they said, you know what? We like to hear the shuffling of the papers because we feel like we're right there with you. Because that happens, doesn't it? That we're shuffling papers. We're transitioning in our minds from what we brought in from the outside world into a worship space, in a worship place, not only here but in our minds, especially in our minds, right? That worship space that we want to clear out, so that we have a chance to listen for that voice of our Savior, the voice of our shepherd, the one who is trying with all his might, I believe, to steer us, and yet sometimes we make it quite difficult, I think. Like that little new puppy that's never been on the leash before that I mentioned a few minutes ago. We're pulling here and tugging there, and we want to do something different than the person that's got the other end of the leash wants us to do. Nevertheless, we don't get too far on the leash, do we? The Lord gives us just enough slack that we can make our own decisions, good or bad. But he doesn't let us get too far. He doesn't give a little tug on that leash to bring us back, so that we don't get in too much danger, but allow ourselves the freedom to make the choices. Jesus is modeling real relationships with his sheep. He used them as an example so many times. Jesus is in this relationship with our Father as well, and also with his followers, and he serves as our example for authentic and true relationships. In today's world, it's often so busy, it's difficult to take the time needed to invest in those real relationships that are so crucial to us, so important to us. Sometimes we don't even get that opportunity on Sunday morning because we, even though we have fellowship hour, that's wonderful, but some don't get to do that because they're off to work or they're off to something else, and we don't get to form those relationships unless we make intentional time for that. And it's important, so crucial to make that intentional time, just like it's easy to walk by Jesus in the morning. He's probably sitting right there with you at the breakfast table or when you're having a cup of coffee or getting ready to rush out the door. He's sitting right there, and how many times do we rush out right past him without thanking him for being the best part of our day? We forget to welcome him into our life and to join with us in that fellowship. It's even harder to be in relationship with those people that maybe we feel like we have less in common with or that we haven't had a chance to sit down. It's easy to stay within our inner circle, but it's more uncomfortable to sit with somebody that you really don't know, but it's much more rich on certain days because God may have a message through that person that we need to hear. And we need to give those opportunity to grow, those relationships. Even if we feel like it's someone that we have less in common with, How often are we able to stop and listen deeply when we ask, "How are you?" How often are we willing to talk with the person who's different from us, who might be considered an outsider, if we're going to use that word this morning? We have Jesus' example of showing love through real relationships as our model. And it's up to us as a church to live out that example in our world. I challenge you this week to be on the lookout for someone in your community, in our community, and those folks who often get overlooked. Intentionally look for those folks. Intentionally share a word with them. Learn from them. And maybe they'll learn from you as well. Take time to listen and not just be the one that's talking. Listen to what they have to say. Jesus promises that he knows our voice and we know his. And we need to know each other's as well. Sometimes, have you ever called somebody on the phone and you just say hi or hey or whatever, and they know immediately who it is. They don't have to look at the caller ID. They don't have to look. You just know. Jesus is like that. He knows our name. He knows our voice. We need not follow the voices that come from other places. We need to follow his voice, but listen to his people and listen for what they have to say. As you know, love, as you show love through listening, sometimes you can at the same time hear the shepherd's voice speaking through those other folks. By listening and loving, relationships grow. And all the while, we're following that good shepherd into the place he's calling us to. Pay attention to those around you that need a good word from you, that need an encouraging word from you, that need to be able to have that voice that they recognize. Sometimes we can't even explain the ways that we feel lost. We're not little kids anymore. Most of us in the sanctuary right now are not little kids anymore. But we still long to hear that familiar voice, don't we? Jesus longs to hear your voice too. So when you get up in the morning and you're rustling and bustling about getting ready for your day, know that Jesus is sitting there just waiting for a good word from you. And we certainly need that good word from him as we go out into his world. And be that listening ear and that voice, maybe that familiar voice for somebody else who needs to hear it. Jesus is our good shepherd. He is our guide. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we can't thank you enough for tugging us back when we need to be tugged back. And yet giving us the same amount, at the same time, amount of freedom to make choices and decisions. We have the choice to listen for you or not, or just to listen to ourselves. We have a choice to let you in on our day or just to walk by you and go about our day. Lord, we choose you today. We choose you to be by our side. We choose you as guide. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us and showing us your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, our Lord, and our Savior. Amen. If we might have our ushers at this time. God of abundant life, host of our table, we devote ourselves and these gifts to your vision of a community that meets the needs of any and all. We give our gifts of money and work, of prayer and praise, of presence and purpose to our friends and our neighbors. Bless this offering that it might meet the needs, both small and large, of your great and generous blessings. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let us have a responsive benediction at this time. Everyone was struck with awe by the signs and wonders of the early church. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ, shepherd of the church, is upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Amen and amen. Let's close with, blessed be the tie that binds. And the reason, I'm just going to say, the reason some put their hands up is because we know we need to be filled, right? Everybody isn't comfortable with that, but we need to be filled for the week. So, Lord, fill us. And have a wonderful week, and come and join us for fellowship hour.